Okay, if you want to see Lord Pakal in his spaceship, just go to our coasttocoastam.com website and click our Twitter feed that you'll find up there at the top, the little icon, top right-hand corner. Those of you who do not follow us on Facebook or Twitter, you can do that just by going to our website. You might as well. But take a look at old Lord Pakal sitting in what I think is a spaceship. Anyway, we'll be back with final phone calls and Pat Chouinard as we talk about lost civilizations on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back. Pat Chouinard with us. Pat, what do you think of the theories of the late Zechariah Sitchin?
Very fascinating, and I've touched upon him many times in my writings. In fact, I even touched upon him in Clash of the Giants. And, you know, he... I think he got a couple things wrong. I don't think they came from Nibiru. I think they came from another planet entirely. I don't even believe it was in the solar system. But I think he got the basic idea correct. And I don't believe they were here for gold. I believe they were here for biological purposes. I think they wanted to create a new race, a race which could succeed them ultimately and, prove something in this cosmos to bring consciousness to the universe and to better the universe, a bettering force, a positive force for good within the cosmos. So I think that's why they came here.
Yeah, I think something happened there, too, a long, long time ago. So all these cases of UFO reports today, do you think people are seeing something?
Yeah, I do. And I believe that they are UFOs, and I do believe that they are extraterrestrials. I have no doubt about that in my mind. As far as the Greys are concerned, in my opinion, they're the immortal enemy of the Terran race. I think that they are a odious and deceitful species, and I see no good in anything that they do.
Really? Why do you say that?
I don't believe that they are our ancestors, and I don't believe they have anything to do with the creation of man. I think that they are a completely different species that happens to be here for entirely alternative reasons.
Okay, but why do you say that they may be that way, a little nefarious?
Oh, yes. Well, I mean, what they do, abducting people and conducting experiments of that nature on them, I mean, they're not nice guys. I mean, they're not out there for the benefit of mankind. They're out there to do harm to innocent men, women, and children of the Terran race.
Abducting?
Abducting, definitely, and that's that's a violation. I mean, it's rape, and I see nothing good in anything that they do.
David Jacobs also believes that there's something very bad going on here with some of these ETs.
Yeah, and I see that there's absolutely, like I said, absolutely nothing good going because of it. I do believe that some of the ETs that we see, some of the UFOs, are our guardian UFOs which are here to monitor our progress, hoping that we will obtain self-awareness and self-determination to succeed and survive and ultimately return to the cosmos where we came. And I think that those UFOs are positive force, and they are out there for the betterment of mankind. I don't think the Greys, I think they are an entirely different race. And I believe that there are many different races and many different forms of UFOs. I don't believe they're just one species. I think there are many species are visiting this planet at various different times, not only now, but in the past, and at various increments and times during the past.
All right, back to the phones we go. Charlotte, North Carolina, east of the Rockies. Aaron, you're up with us. Thank you for holding.
Hello, gentlemen.
Hi, Aaron.
I was wanting to ask your guest about the spire on the moon and how that might relate to a former civilization that had advanced enough to travel to the moon and built a civilization there.
Can you catch that there, Pat?
If you could repeat that question one more time, I couldn't quite hear that.
I'm sorry, I've got a bad signal on my phone. I was wanting to ask about the spire, the 2-kilometer spire on the moon. I wanted to get your take on if, you know, maybe an earlier evolution of our species had developed the technology to go to the moon and build, like, a mega civilization.
Well, yeah, essentially that is correct. I mean, if you look at reports of Vimana, like I said earlier, many of them were spacecraft, and I believe that there was at one time, and I said this in my last interview, that there was a multi-planetary civilization in this solar system at one time in the remote past.
Okay.
And that included Earth.
Well, it did indeed. Let's go to Paul in Austin, Texas. Welcome to the show. Hi, Paul.
Good evening, gentlemen. How are you?
Oh, we're great. Thank you.
I have a question that reflects back on what was the earlier discussion about past civilizations, and this is just a random thought that I've had. If you go back and look at what is considered to be the Greek symbol for medicine, the caduceus,
yeah,
the double snakes around the staff, okay, this goes back a long ways. And then you reflect on Francis Crick, and with the advent of the electron microscope, DNA was the double helix.
Mm-hmm.
So my question is, maybe the ancient Greeks knew about this.
Yeah.
It's almost too coincidental to be coincidental.
Well, that's essentially correct because, you know, I said, the ancient Greeks had a knowledge of not only engineering and not only medicine, but archaeology. So why not genetics?
Exactly. I think in my experience, and, you know, I'm an electrical engineer by profession, but I think there's a knowledge of physics that we have lost.
And I think that it's our mission to regain that essential knowledge.
Right. We've advanced technologically, but we still don't understand, as for example, what you were mentioning earlier, is how everyone came up with similar geometric structures placed as far as astronomical, you know, there's a logic to them that we seem to have lost at some point.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Appreciate that.
Thank you very much.
Jack is in Mankato, Minnesota. It's One Eye Jack. Hey, Jack.
Why, hey, how you doing, George?
We're great.
Dad, it was a pleasure to listen to you this evening as well, and I have an unusual question.
Yeah.
But you kind of answered my question earlier when we were talking about guardians. I've always wondered that with the ETs, if they have that high technology, wouldn't you think they'd be benevolent by then and not have weapons? I mean, we're a very hostile society, and I think probably one of the reasons that they really don't make contact with us is, weapon-wise, we're probably more powerful than they are. They might be explorers and observers. What do you think about that?
Well, I think that, you know, it's kind of hard to speculate, you know, whether or not a foreign extraterrestrial race would be hostile or non-hostile, only because we don't know the path of their evolution. Now, the people who I believe are the benevolent race, I believe that they are very human-like, and I believe that they are our ancestors, so they have a motivation to be benevolent towards us. I think that there are other races out there who are on the higher level of the food chain in their world, and just as any creature is on the higher level of the food chain, they get to that high level of the food chain by being predators. And I think the Greys are a perfect example of a predatory race.
This planet must be a gold mine for them, Pat.
Yeah, exactly. And they're always taking genetic samples and manipulating, and they're just an odious race, you know, and, you know, I would, if there's any motivation to me to say that we should declare war on another race. I don't think we should be declaring war on each other. I think we should be declaring war on a race like that.
Maybe so.
They're non-human. I mean, why would we want to fight amongst ourselves when we should be?
Well, we're doing that now. Look what we're doing to this planet.
It's ridiculous. I mean, we are one species. We shouldn't be fighting amongst ourselves. We only make ourselves weak and vulnerable to some creature like the Greys.
This is a hateful, hateful planet. Let's go to Janelle in Liberty, Missouri. Hey, Janelle.
Hi, how are you guys?
Great, Janelle. Thank you.
Cool, cool. All right, well, I've been on hold for quite a while, so my question goes, not my question, but my comment really goes all the way back to when Pat was talking about the archaeology scientists, how they refuse to recognize ancient mythologies. And in my searches and, like, research and stuff, I've discovered that all these mythologies line up with today's mythology. They're theologies. It's the same thing. They're just the theologies of their time, the people that existed at that time. And when you put them side by side, they totally parallel. You know, the angels of the patriotic religions we have today are the same stories of the Greek gods and their children of their day. You know, the hero story lines up. There's this book called The Hero with a Thousand Faces that depicts this concept of this archetype of
Joseph Campbell
existence in these stories. Excuse me?
Joseph Campbell.
What?
Explain that, Pat.
Yeah, he wrote Hero with a Thousand Faces.
You're going to have to explain that a little bit more.
Didn't she cite Hero with a Thousand Faces?
I did, sir.
Yeah, and that was written by Joseph Campbell.
Yes, okay. Oh, you said Campbell. Okay, I thought you said it was a scandal. I was like...
Oh, okay.
Okay, Campbell, yes. So, anyways, I just have you... In all of the vast knowledge that you may have through your research, have you noticed a parallel between, you've studied religion as well, you've noticed, you know, Michael battles a dragon, you were speaking about dragons and, you know, ancient times and things like that. There are all these stories completely line up, you know, at least from what I see.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think they all do line up, and you know, I think mythology is much richer than just a story. I think it has something much more significant than just that. I think it goes way back to the very core of human society as a whole.
This planet, Pat, is going through an incredible metamorphosis. We think we could get hit by an X flare. It could be an Earth changer. What happens to civilization when we're tossed back to the Dark Ages?
Well, then everything is lost, so that's why we need to make our preparations to prevent a relapse like that. Because, first of all, there's many things to consider. Look what it was like during the Dark Ages. There was no medical care, no education. The church ruled over everything. They manipulated the lower classes. It was ruled by warlords and tyrants. We can never go back to that situation again. And as long as we remain a single species on this planet, we're never going to be safe, because once we learn to become a multi-planetary species or a multi-stellar species, what's going to happen is no one single natural disaster can wipe out the entire human race. There's just going to be too many of us on too many worlds to totally wipe us all out. We're always going to have survivors. But if we all remain on just one planet and there's an asteroid or a flare or something like that's going to hit the Earth, then we're all doomed.
Oklahoma City, it's Brian's turn on Coast to Coast. Go ahead, Brian. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, George, and thank you, your guest, and a great show, by the way.
Thank you.
Quick question. Dr. Hawass.
Yeah.
The previous director of antiquities for Egypt got blowed out. They took him out.
Yeah.
We don't know who replaced him. Does your guest have any comment about who is now on top of the Egyptian antiquities department? Or any further developments on the Egyptian archaeological research. And I'll stop line. Thank you, guys.
Okay. Of course, as we know, Zahi Hawass got booted out during the era that Mubarak got booted out as well. But I don't know what's going on there now. Do you?
No, I don't. And frankly, I don't follow that aspect to that too much. I never liked Zahi Hawass. I thought he was a complete ass. And I'm glad he's gone. I was upset by the fact that my good friend, Dr. Robert Schock, who did the work on the Sphinx.
Great research.
Determined that it was older than originally thought. He got on television with Josh Berenstein and refuted his well-thought-out theory and didn't even mention Robert Schock. He referred to him as that other guy.
And Robert also found what we think could be the Hall of Records at the base of the Sphinx, as Edgar Cayce had predicted.
Exactly. And his boss called him that other guy that was wrong. Never brought up his viewpoint. Never gave an honest assessment of what he even was talking about. And to me, that's one-sided, that's territorial, and he had absolutely no right to do that.
That's one of my concerns with Zahi, too. Everything was Egyptian. He never would think beyond that.
No, he wouldn't.
Let's go to Eugene, Oregon. Mike, take it away. You're up with us.
Thank you. Yes, I was wondering if your guest had any opinion on the seeding of all of humanity by various sort of possibly foreign or alien species, or maybe some of them were here before. I read an interesting book a few years ago, and his ideas sort of stuck with me, Stuart Swerdlow. He
sure.
Said some interesting ideas. I didn't agree or think, you know, I gave credibility to everything. But do you think that possibly the different five or six, basic races of humans were possibly seeded with a human blueprint that they could sort of put their impression on by different groups?
I think that, like I said before, I think that one ancestral line was integrated into an already existing evolving species on Earth, which made us superior. It gave us we would call an evolutionary boost. And from that evolutionary boost, all the other races and groups of people all evolved from one specific root. I don't believe that races were placed here separately. I think we all have one common origin, one common denominator. I think we are one species. I think the differences that exist between human beings on this planet, I believe, are superficial. I think if a race was looking down upon us, he would find more similarities among us than differences.
Well, I think you'll find a lot of truth in Adam and Eve stories, that's for sure. Stay with us. We're coming back with Pat Chouinard and final phone calls in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Well, here I am back at you now with Pat Chouinard as we take final phone calls here as we talk about his work, Lost Civilizations. Pat, you've got several websites out there. Direct us to what each one does, if you would.
Well, the New Archaeology Review site, actually, we're closing down.
Oh, and, yeah, okay.
And we're also closing down patchinard.com. Our main thing we're looking at right now is ForgottenWorlds.com, which is Forgotten-Worlds.com, and GodsAndAliensMagazine.com. I encourage everyone to go to GodsAndAliensMagazine.com. It's going to be the site, and we're promoting it heavily right now. It's been on GrahamHancock.com, and we're going to be bringing out a newsletter, an iPad magazine, and YouTube videos, and maybe some documentaries.
What keeps you driving? Why do you keep moving, Pat? What's behind your ability to keep forging forward?
Well, I just, have a lot of determination. I have a lot of ambition, and I want to see our species make something of itself. I don't want it to wane away into non-existence. So I'm trying my best to contribute to the human race, and I hope other people will do the same.
I hope so, too. We need many more to do that. You know that.
Yeah, I know. And I hope, I hope as many people as possible will commit their lives to the planet and to the species.
A lot of people, Pat, have talked about disclosure of UFOs. I've been one who has said that I don't think governments will disclose at all. They're not going to tell us anything. Your take?
Yeah. Well, governments won't until we have a true Terran government globally. And, you know, I foresee a time in the future when, you know, that could be a real possibility.
Okay, back to the phones. We'll go to Seattle, Washington. S is with us. Hi there.
Hey, what's up, George?
Hey, good to have you with us, S.
I want to talk to Pat about, has he done any research on Chinese?
On what? You were breaking up right at the end.
I was wondering if Pat, he's done any studies on Chinese history, and if he knows anything about the Yao people.
Well, he's done some work on China, no doubt about that. What have you found, Pat?
Well, you know, interesting thing is I'm not too familiar with the Yao people, if you could explain that, because I'd like to learn more about that.
Who are Yao? They?
I'm Yao. What I've known from my parents and my grandparents, that they're not Chinese, but we're from China. We once had our own nation, and we came from extraterrestrial. I mean, the legend says we came from a dragon dog.
Ah, great. You know, that's a good thing you brought that up, because like I said, I'm doing research right now on a dragon book, and this is something I could actually put in there.
Okay, well, that's fascinating. Again, here we are, lots of civilizations talking about extraterrestrial visitations. Whether the Dogon tribe, you name it, they're out there. Let's go to Eddie in Everett, Washington, west of the Rockies. Eddie, go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Sure thing.
You're saying, on your guest was saying that we should have our birthright back into outer space, so to speak. And one of the questions that crossed my mind is, if you were to go on a long journey, how would you carry food along with you and water and that kind of stuff? Would it be like some kind of super pill? And the other question I had was, what's his take on the angel statue they found on the moon that you can see on YouTube?
I don't know if they have found a statue on the moon. Tell me a little bit more about that.
Well, yeah, if you look on YouTube, it was actually on public display for a short period of time, and there was a bunch of people that got photos of it, and there's a couple of videos you can see on YouTube of it. And I would say it's probably 10 to 12 inches high, and it's made out of the same rock that's on the moon's surface. If you look on there, it's probably like a six-minute video is one I just watched.
Okay. Know anything about that, Pat?
Well, anything is possible. I'd always, you know, when we're dealing with an anomaly like that, I tread with caution to see if, you know, if it's indeed a legitimate claim. And as far as the long trips are concerned, I believe that probably the best thing to do would either have suspended animation or bring the food along with you in a self-contained environment. These would be massive ships, the size of a small city, containing many people, you know, several hundred people, on long voyages into other areas, from stars to even galaxies over millennia.
All right, this is an interesting story. They say that this angel statue is 200,000 years old, found on the moon. What I don't know is who brought it back. They think maybe Apollo 11.
Mm-hmm.
Strange story.
No, I've never heard of that. And like I said, I would tread with caution and see if it's a legitimate claim. It could be a legitimate claim, but you never know. You always have to, whenever dealing with any form of anomaly, you have to look with skepticism first and then draw your own conclusions.
Okay, let's go to Jim of Acushnet, Massachusetts, east of the Rockies. Hi, Jim. Thanks for calling.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Yeah, I'd just like to make a couple of comments. As far as the aliens themselves, I believe that they're benevolent creatures. I mean, I look at it this way. They've been around for thousands of years, probably longer than we have.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if they meant us any harm, they could have obliterated us a long time ago.
Well, like I have said, I think a lot of the aliens that are out there are our benefactors, and they are our ancestors. I think that the Greys, however, have an alternative motive, and I think that that's quite, you know, that's very evident in the certain things that they've been doing, namely abducting people and conducting unwanted and unwarranted experiments on living human beings.
Back to this angel statue. If Apollo 11 folks did bring it back, Armstrong and Aldrin, how did we get it on YouTube? Makes you wonder, Pat, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Let's go to Jeremy in Guthrie, Oklahoma, first-time caller. Jeremy, take it away.
Hey, George. Hey, Pat. I have a question for both of you. I'd really like to get your responses on both of it, on my question.
Okay.
About ancient civilizations and the possibility that aliens helped them build the pyramids and the Sphinx and other spirit, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Where did that technology go? I mean, if you, I would just really like to get your input on that, and I'll take my...
Okay, right off the air. You want to go first, Pat, or me?
I'll go first.
All right.
Basically, you know, as I said before, everything comes in cycles, and I think that, you know, we get to a point in our society where there is something what you would call racial exhaustion. All our resources are exhausted. Society collapses, and we just forget about the technology that we once had. We forget about the wisdom we once had. We forget about the beliefs we once had. And it takes a long time for those beliefs and those wisdom and that technology to reassert itself.
It sure does. See, I think the technology was either taken away, that maybe they left this planet, or because civilizations have come and gone, it went with them. Simple as that. And who knows what's down there in the Hall of Records. But I do believe that the pyramids were built by some kind of higher knowledge. What I don't know is whether it's extraterrestrial or whether we, as human beings, Pat, had incredible knowledge, as we've talked about tonight, and they had an ability to move those stones, whether they floated them in or whatever they did.
Well, basically, you know, when you think about it, you have incredible civilizations, and you also have incredible powers that once existed on this planet in remote periods of time.
Sure.
And you have an influx of many different influences throughout history. You have the ancient godlike entities that once inhabited Earth. You have the vast and powerful empires and civilizations that once existed with great technological sophistication. And you have the extraterrestrials. So you have an interplay, if you will, of various forces over a long period of time.
Let's go to David, driving in Minnesota, east of the Rockies. Hi, David. Go ahead.
Hello. I just wanted to give compliments to Pat for me including technology with evolution and of civilization and then breakdown with our human history.
Sure thing.
I've always thought of, well, we know that that's happened in civilizations with less technology, but that actually made me think that with the pyramids and the figures of spaceships that have been found in other cultures, but perhaps we actually, with if we had space travel or even interplanetary travel, that we shared pyramid technology with each other, but where that technology originally came from may have long time come from other beings or other planets from other galaxies. And
where'd you go? He's gone.
Yeah.
Poof. But anyways, you got a good compliment out of that.
Yeah. Thank you very much. I really appreciate that compliment. That really brightens my night.
Is it difficult, Pat, to mix in what you've been talking about, you know, ancient technologies with extraterrestrials? I mean, a lot of people would say, hey, what's
that difficult at all? It seems rather logical.
Well, that could be. All right, let's go to Victor, truck driving in California, west of the Rockies. Go ahead, Victor.
Hi, Pat. George.
Hi.
Quick question. With our technology today, everybody with camera phones and video, if we had a reenactment of Roswell, do you think they could possibly cover it up?
Well, that's a good question.
I would never underestimate the determination of the American government to cover something up like that.
But they could. He's saying with this kind of technology, could they cover things up? What do you think?
I think, you know, like I said, I think with their determination, with the government, with the American, you have to look at it this way too. The American government also has the same technology. So if we can use that technology to uncover something, they can use the same technology to cover it up.
When you talk about your upcoming work, Clash of the Giants, how big are we talking about with these giants?
Well, I have listed in my book that there were many different types of giants. There were 6-foot giants, there were 7-foot giants, there were 30-foot giants, there were 40-foot giants, there were giants of all sizes and shapes and nationalities and cultures and in levels of sophistication, from primitive, Bigfoot type giants to godlike entities with such vast powers that it would be beyond our present capabilities. Behind our present capabilities to describe or imagine.
Let's go to first-time caller Brian, Oklahoma City. Hi, Brian. Thanks for calling.
Hey, George. Thank you.
Sure.
Actually, I did call in earlier about Dr. Hawass.
Well, that's right. You're only allowed one call every week or so. Let's go next to Joe in Farmington, Missouri. Go ahead, Joe.
How do you do? This is a very interesting show. I follow a lot of it, but I think maybe the Grays might be getting a hit on this deal because I kind of follow the story of those guys and the story of Dark Skies, where the Grays were invaded by an evil alien entity that's just looking out to destroy things, and I just kind of want some input on that. I appreciate it, and just give me a call. I'll be listening offline.
You got that. Are they out to destroy things? You say no, Pat.
I say that the Grays are a kind of a furtive and covert type race that is trying to undermine and subvert the purity of the human race and the vitality of the human race. Steal what's left of humanity and use it to their own ends.
Let's go to east of the Rockies, Pat in Toledo. Hi, Pat. Go ahead.
Oh, I just wanted to add that in the Seth books, he talks about exactly the same subject, that there were various civilizations of which we have no record, and there also were civilizations living more or less side by side. Some were more advanced than the others.
Yes, exactly.
And he mentions, I don't know how to pronounce this right, Pyrenees, Pyrenees Mountain or something like that.
Uh-huh.
He mentions a group of people living in that area.
Mm-hmm.
And that one specifically lived underground and had made tunnels under the ground, and they had outposts scattered all over the country, which they would come up and watch other people. I just thought it was quite fascinating that Seth has written so many things that science and researchers are now coming up with.
I know it. It's amazing.
To prove it.
It sure is. And, you know, I just had a story a few days ago where there's an astronomer. He's convinced with his research, and this is a bona fide astronomer, that there's a planet X in our solar system, that it's way, way out there. So, it's, you know, science is beginning to catch up with what could have been myths, Pat.
Exactly. And the story is continuing.
Let's go to John in Yuba City, California, west of the Rockies. Go ahead, John.
Well, the statement I wanted to make is I believe man's been on this earth longer than 10,000 years because of the footprints that they have found around the world alongside dinosaurs, especially the ones in Texas, I believe, along an ancient riverbed.
Yeah, the one that Cremo has talked about.
Right.
Yeah.
And that sort of convinces me. Plus the fact that if you've ever heard of the movie The Entity.
Sure have.
Yeah, where they've actually trapped a spirit of some sort.
Something's going on.
And the other thing was the movie The Fourth Kind.
That's a classic, too.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, the human race is far older than the standard evolutionists tried to tell us. I think the humanity goes back, you know, to the billions of years.
All right, Pat's websites, of course, forgotten-worlds.com, linked up for you at coasttocoastam.com. Pat, thanks for being on the program. Really, really appreciate it.
Hey, no problem.
All right, good luck. Get some rest. And we'll be looking forward to you when you come out with the Clash of the Giants. As for our next program, split show for you, Whitley Strieber for a couple hours talking about some new incredible UFO stories. And later on, we are going to be talking about the records that apparently all of us are in. But where are they? They're up there, maybe in heaven. So make sure you're part of that program as well. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean LaDesur. Thanks for Tim Banal. Great week for us, Tim. Thank you. Stephanie Smith, George Knapp, John B. Wells, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell. I'm George Norrie. Somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.